As I listen to everything that God has orchestrated this morning, I'm just not amazed, not surprised, because so often Holy Spirit breathes upon so many different areas of our service that it's almost like He knits things together. It's like He puts on the service. He puts us on like a glove, and the Holy Spirit has just been here all morning, first and second service, last night, as I began to try to, just my heart cry was, Father, just show me what you want me to speak over your children today that would position them for kingdom advancement on every front, that would help us to become all that you say we are. And it started out by my sermon title is Faith, Connection, and Joy. We've heard a few things about faith this morning, so I'm going to start there. There are three principles I'm going to share with you this morning that if we adhere to, if we let the Holy Spirit apply it to our lives, we will be victorious Christians. Amen? Amen. I guess you can't say amen until you hear, right? So I'm going to be using the Passion Translation this morning for you, which I have just fallen in love with the way that he phrases things, the way he puts things. Hebrews chapter 11, the great chapter of faith, starts out by putting it this way. Now faith brings our hope into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things that we long for. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. This testimony of faith is what previous generations were commended for. Faith empowers us to see that the universe was created and beautifully coordinated by the power of God's words. He spoke, and the invisible realm gave birth to all that is seen. Shoo! That's some good stuff. I want you to understand this morning that faith is not the absence of doubt. It's the presence of belief. Faith affects our thoughts. And our thoughts also affect our faith. How many of you can attest to that? If you're not careful, if you don't guard your heart, if you don't steward your heart and your mind will begin to start telling your spirit what faith should be instead of God. It would be a mistake for us to think that faith comes from our minds. It doesn't. It simply comes from our heart. Faith is not intellectual in nature. In fact, the Word of God tells us that by faith we understand. So I want to speak this over you this morning. God has been so desperately trying to get us to understand that if we change the way we think, He will change our lives. And to make that thought reality, I want to ask you a few questions. How would your thinking change if nothing were impossible? How would your thinking change if there were no regrets haunting you from your past? How would your thinking change if you had unlimited resources to accomplish all the purposes that God has put in your heart? You see, faith affects human reasoning by removing the boundaries and obstacles that we come accustomed to. I believe it's time that we let faith have its full effect on our minds. So if you could, for a moment, dream with me. What could be possible in our lifetime? The second thing I want to point out to you this morning, the second principle is the first being faith. The second is being connected. John chapter 15 tells us, Jesus started out by saying it this way, I am like a sprouting vine, and the farmer who tends the vine is my Father. He cares for the branches connected to me by lifting and propping up the branches that are fruitless and pruning every fruitful branch to yield a greater harvest. The words I have spoken over you already have spoken over you have already cleansed you. So stop it. You got it up on the screen, so you know I said it wrong, right? Just checking to see if you're following. So step into life union with me. That's an invitation from the Father, the Lord, this morning. Step into a life union with me. For I have stepped into life union with you. For as much as a branch severed from the vine will not bear fruit, so your life will be fruitless unless you live your life intimately joined to mine. When I think about that passage of Scripture, I was drawn back to the New King James, which says this for verse 2, every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, he being the Father or the farmer, takes away. When I think about that, the Greek phrase can also be translated this way. He takes up to himself every fruitless branch. You see, when I started thinking about this scripture, I fell back into what I've always thought would be truth. I always thought that if I was unfruitful, that God would cut me away from the vine. And if we're not careful, that way of thinking produces a performance mentality. That we have to do certain things to measure up. But as I began to think about the translation of the passage, Passion, he began to talk about how the farmer would come and take the branches that were attached to the vine, Jesus Christ being the vine. We are the branches. He began to talk about how when he would find a branch that was fruitless, he didn't cut it off and throw it away. In fact, one of the translations says he would pick up that branch and draw it unto himself. And when he'd draw it unto himself, he would then nurture it and breathe life into it. Your Father is not about cutting and throwing off. So when we find ourselves in these places where we may feel unfruitful or unfulfilled, your Father is bending over, picking up you as a branch, lifting you up. When we are lifted up off the ground as a farmer, I realized that when you would lift branches off, when certain vines would grow on the ground, if you have to watch, because if it would get really wet, you'd have to get these things up off the ground or the fruit would end up being destroyed. He's picking up the vines so that we can be fruitful again. I can't help but think how many of us have put ourselves into those places because we have believed a lie that our God is all about performance. And if we don't do this, or if we don't do that, or if we don't produce this, or we don't produce that, then he'll cut us away. That's never been his heart and never will be. He's the God of restoration. when I look a little further, I see that now the branches that produce fruit, he prunes. So when I think about pruning, as I looked into the Greek, pruning can also mean he cleanses. You see, pruning is necessary for increase. Pruning isn't punishment. It's a reward for being fruitful. You see, this way of thinking can only come by learning to think the way that he thinks. God is always more concerned with what he builds in us more than what he builds through us. It's the maturing process that we cannot get a past. The work of God that God is doing in us always needs pruned and refined. If it is not, it will lead to entitlement. You see, hope is a joyful anticipation of good. When we start to grow in hope, we will start to experience breakthrough on every front. That's his word. That's his promises to us. You see, hope is the birthplace of faith. And if we're not careful, we will begin to think we've had a role in bringing about our own destiny instead of being the work of God's grace in us. The thing that can keep us in check is being poor in spirit. See, being poor in spirit, this is the key to maintaining health as we become blessed. How many of you want to be blessed? Bless them, Lord. You see, poor in spirit is not self-criticism. That's the spirit of stupid. I didn't get that out this morning, but I wanted to do that. I wanted to get the self-criticism is not of God. Self-criticism is the job of the accuser or the brother. Poor in spirit has only one remedy, and that is trusting in God. Poor in spirit means to be humble and totally dependent upon God for everything. Total reliance upon God is the doorway into the kingdom realm. The truth is, very people in history have managed a life of increase and blessing. You see, when people move into blessing, they end up sabotaging the process of maturing because they can't handle the increase. Why? Because increase left unchecked leads to entitlement. The truth is, the only way we can stay in a place where we advance in the things of God is to stay in a place of being poor in spirit. The third principle I want to share with you this morning is the principle of joy in our life. How many of you know someone that could use a little more joy? I thought everybody threw their hands up and they'd be hitting their hugs. He's talking about you, Fred. No Fred's in here, is there? That's always the hard part. I want to go to James chapter 1. I won't be much longer. James chapter 1 says it this way. My fellow believers, when it seems as though you are facing nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience all the joy that you can. That was so good, I'm going to read it to you again. My fellow believers, when it seems as though you are facing nothing but difficulties. Anybody here feel like you're in there? Okay, the rest of you? Shame, shame. I can sense it's a lot of you over there. That's all right, we'll get it out of here. Facing nothing but difficulties, what do you have to do? See it as this, as an invaluable opportunity to experience all the joy that you can. For you know that when your faith is tested, it stirs up within you to endure all things. And then, as your endurance grows even stronger, it will release perfection into every part of your being until there is nothing missing and nothing lacking. Bam! If I just preach that this morning, it should be enough to set you free. So why would James say, count it all joy, as it does in the New King James, or in this translation, or experience all the joy that you can? Because he knew the outcome. He knew the outcome of nothing missing and nothing lacking. When you can learn to position your heart that in the middle of a circumstance, you don't allow the circumstances to not dictate your future or not dictate to you who God is, everything changes. When you could take that circumstance and right in the middle of it say, you know what, God, what I need the most is your presence in my life. When your presence is in my life, I have joy beyond measure. We must not overlook, church, the fact that our problems and trials are a shortcut to nothing missing and nothing lacking. The truth is, most of us don't understand the process that he takes us through, the maturing process. How many of you have ever been in a place where you're saying, well, God, I need you to do this, and God, I need you to do that. And God, you know my need, and I need this, and I can't do that. When we begin to ask him, he begins to release the process in our lives for us to receive what we've asked him for. I don't believe that God does things to us to cause us pain. I don't believe that God does things to us to shape our life. He's not that kind of a father. The truth is, he has planted us as his children into a world that we are to redefine. It's still our mandate that we are to make this world look like heaven. So this morning I have shared three principles with you that I believe if you grab a hold of is part of our maturing process. Faith, staying connected to Christ, and learning how to walk in the joy of the Spirit of the Lord. Would you stand with me, please? Even this morning, as we went through the first service, I felt the weightedness of Holy Spirit on when we began to talk about Jesus being the vine and us being the branches. I think sometimes we find ourselves in difficult places, and because we find ourselves in difficult places, it pushes us away from God instead of drawing us to Him. And when it pushes us away from Him, it causes us to start thinking not like He does. Can't help but think, I even felt the presence of God even this morning, just even reaching down. And I can sense his hands undergirding. See, there's some of us who felt like we're not fruitful or we're not quite measuring up. He's not a God that's impressed by our performance. He's looking for intimacy. But He wants you to know that even in a place of brokenness, He'll lift you up. He brings you to Himself. He doesn't cut off and discard. How many are thankful that He's the God of the second, third, fourth chances? He's the God of 50th chance. He just doesn't quit. Because he loves us so. It's not about our performing for Him. It's about how we love Him the way He loves us. And then it's about how we love His children the way He loves us. That's where it gets a little hard. I can sense that some of us are caught in difficult times. But I want you to know, oh Jesus, help us. What God wants you to know is this morning that there is nothing that's impossible for Him. That He doesn't want you to dwell on your regrets or the things that haunt you from your past. You see, that's the only place the adversary can hit you. He has nothing to do with your future. In fact, His has already been determined. We must understand that God has given us unlimited resources to accomplish what He's asked us to do. Now, I know that some of us are feeling this morning, like Paul said it, we are afflicted in every way. But we're not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing. We find ourselves persecuted, but we're not forgotten. Struck down, but not destroyed. So this morning, I just sense the power of Holy Spirit in our midst. Saying, give me your brokenness. Give me the disappointments of your life. Let me hold you up. Let me hold you up so that you start to bud again. You see, when we're in His presence, when he breathes life over us, life comes back. Quote it. The Spirit of God brings life in everything it touches. He sweeps into a room and starts shifting everything. He captivates our thoughts. We start thinking about how good He is and how He's blessed us. We can't but be thankful for His faithfulness. I can honestly say I have never been disappointed in Him. disappointed myself, my family, I'm sure. But I've never felt disappointment with my God. And it has to do with the way we steward our heart. So this morning, I'm going to ask the prayer team to come forward. If you're here, and you may just be here, just need a fresh touch of God. We want to pray for you. You may find yourself in a difficult mess. We want to shift that difficulty to a place of giving you joy so that you can walk through the process that He has you in. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior. Or maybe you're here and you've walked away because you felt like the world had something better to give you. You want to recommit your life to Christ. I want to pray with you this morning. I'd like to meet you right here. But let me pray over you this morning. Father, we thank you for the presence of the Almighty God in our midst. I thank you, God, that you can look into the deep places of our hearts. And even if we would let you, you can begin to break off those things that hinder us, that makes us stumble. So today, Father, I release life into your children, refreshing Holy Spirit over them. Breathe afresh and anew. I thank you, God, you don't cut off and discard, that you hold us up. So today I bless your children, and I pray, Father, that you'd continue to move mightily on their lives. And Father, I just declare over you today as a child of God, you will be dreamers, you will see visions, and you as the body of Christ shall prophesy. In Jesus' name. If you're here this morning and you'd like some prayer, we'd love to pray with you. God bless you. We love you. Look forward to seeing you next week. Amen.